Hello and welcome to the Exit Podcast presented by Flippa. I'm your co-host Steve McGarry here, and this is a 30-minute podcast where we go through with expert entrepreneurs who have been there and they have done it. We talk about all the different types of operations that go into buying and selling businesses. You'll learn how they did it, how they have gone through the process of talking to larger companies, smaller companies, and it is a world occupied by a small few, but accessible by many. And in this episode, I sit down with Michelle Romano, who is the president and founder of ClearBank, which if you have not heard of ClearBank, definitely check them out because they are funding thousands of e-commerce companies with a really brilliant business model. But before we dive into that, definitely check out the previous interview here from Paul Polizotto from Give With. It's a fantastic interview that you can find wherever you're listening to this episode. So without further ado, let's dive into my interview with Michelle Romano, the president and co-founder of ClearBank. You guys are going to love this one because we are talking macro here. We are talking all across the world, funding amazing entrepreneurs with a data-driven approach. This is not having to do with walking into a VC office and raising money off of Sand Hill Road in Silicon Valley. This is the future of how businesses are going to get financing. It's based on their revenue, fully data-driven, and doing so, they're able to get this amazing, diverse base of entrepreneurs from all over the world. So if they've built an amazing business, ClearBank is there to help them. So without further ado, let's dive into my interview with Michelle. All right, everyone. I am joined here with Michelle Romano, the co-founder and president of ClearBank. How are you doing today, Michelle?
Wonderful. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah. So let's dive into kind of the origin story. Like, what's your background before we dive into ClearBank? I know everybody's kind of eager to learn more about it, but let's hear about your background. What brought you into ClearBank?
Yeah, I mean, I have been a serial entrepreneur for as long as I can imagine. I don't actually know how to do a lot of other things besides start companies. And my origin story is pretty crazy. I went to study engineering mostly because my parents told me I could study anything I wanted as long as it was engineering. So I had an abundance of choice growing up. And, you know, in engineering school, I was like, look, I'm going to be a lot better at building businesses than building bridges. So I built this little sustainable coffee shop on Queen's campus back in the day. It's still there 12 years later, which is really cool. It's called the Tea Room. And by the time I had graduated, Anatoly and I figured out that worldwide supply of sturgeon caviar was down by 95% because the world had overfished the Caspian Sea. So then most people might find that out, but we were crazy enough to graduate, enter some business plan competitions, and decide to say no to our job offers and move out to the East Coast of Canada and build a fishery from scratch. That's literally everything it sounds like. Boats, fishermen, my hands knee deep in fish, like the whole nine yards. And our thesis was right. Chefs wanted the product, so we had no problem selling it. The issue was, you know, the issue was that we went into a giant recession in 2008, and I was 21 years old selling the world's most unnecessary luxury product. So it was quite a way to start my entrepreneurial career. You know, the recession got so bad, I took a job as the director at strategy at a big retailer. This is like 2010. I see e-commerce blow up in the really early days. And with the same guys I started the caviar business with, we launched an e-commerce website. And we were self-funded for, you know, 5 years. Bytopia became one of the fastest growing Canadian companies. We, you know, managed to acquire like 10 of our competitors, and it now operates under the Emerge brand, which should go public later this year. So I got to learn the hard way that, you know, without capital, you just have to have really positive unit economics as you start to scale and grow. And from there, we started building another project called SnapSaves that was early in the AI space, and we digitized coupons for CPG companies. Got really good growth off that app and ended up selling that company to Groupon in 2014. So after the Groupon acquisition, kind of a couple interesting things happened. I ended up joining the board of a few public companies. So I'm on the board of Vail Resorts. They're the largest ski operator in the world. and the board of Freshy, which is a salad chain with a huge number of locations. But probably most people know me because I ended up joining the cast of Dragon's Den, and it's the Canadian version of Shark Tank. It was fascinating. It leads to really the ClearBank story, because what happens is most people don't know that we see 250 pitches in 17 days. So we're like sitting in these chairs, it's like pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. And you know, even if you're an incredible VC, you're typically not seeing like 10 pitches every single day. And because of the nature of the show, we were seeing lots of e-commerce companies, because they're product companies, which audiences understand. And we were getting all these e-commerce companies on the show, and the founders would come, and the dragons would be like, well, what do you need the money for? And they would be like, look, we need to go buy growth, and growth today is buying Google and Facebook ads. And so I remember there was this father-son team, you know, they're selling these iPhone cases, which is a great little business. They make each case for 10 bucks. It cost them $10 in ad spend, and they sold them for 50 bucks. And, you know, they were there on the show ready to give up 20% of their company for $100,000. And I just remember thinking, this is such a bad deal for both of us. So on the show, this is 6 years ago, I was like, hey, instead of me taking 20% of your company, why don't we do this? I'll give you the $100,000 you're looking for, and I won't take any equity. All I want in return is 5% of your revenue until you pay me back my capital plus 6%. So for 100 grand, they pay me back $106,000 from their revenue over time. And then I was like, that's it. That's all. There's no, this isn't a loan. There's no personal guarantee or fixed payment timelines or compounding interest. This is truly just a rev share. I said, the only hitch of my deal is that I want to see your Facebook ad account, because I will know, you know, I'll know what I'm looking for here, right? I ran an e-commerce company for a long time. And, you know, I never guessed from there that that would have struck such a chord. I mean, at ClearBank now, we have invested over $1 billion in 3,300 different e-commerce companies, making us the largest e-commerce investor in the world. And it's really because it's a bad deal for founders to give up equity and control of their company to buy Google and Facebook ads. And now our capital can be used for anything. It's not just ads. We have, you know, a really unique product for inventory, where you don't have to pay for your inventory until a customer buys the product, and we buy your inventory for you. But we tried to get, you know, really granular. And I think it resonated, because today, you know, 50% of the venture dollars that go into companies go straight to Google or Facebook. So it's a bad deal for founders to be giving up a piece of equity, to go do things in their business that are repeatable. And so that was the story of, you know, how we founded ClearBank. And, it was really based on, you know, me and my co-founder wanted to build something that was by founders for founders. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to fundraise, and we thought we could solve a pretty big problem here.
Yeah, that's fantastic that it really addresses the growth aspect of it, because I have heard that metric from Chamath at Social Capital. I follow him pretty closely, and he talks a lot about the kind of VC money coming off Sandhill going right into Fang. You know, it's all like just half of it, you know.
And totally.
I think it's such a fascinating concept that, you know, you're able to not take huge slugs of equity and help them at the same time. And it's such a mutually beneficial relationship. And I think it's great that you focused on e-commerce, because I have seen a lot of movement, specifically this year, moving, you know, let's say legacy brands on e-commerce, where they know the future is. In terms of, you know, let's talk about the process of getting started in ClearBank. Like, you now have done 3,300 deals. That's incredible. What type of team does it take to do diligence on 3,300 businesses? Is that how big are you guys, and how is that scaling process?
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. And so on your last point, like, yeah, Chamath was an early backer of us, and totally got the model on how it's just incredibly inefficient to give up a piece of your company to go do things that are repeatable. So how do we do it? You know, we did it through AI and data science. That's the only way we could have invested in 3,300 companies in, you know, basically 2 years. So we effectively automated what venture capitalists do. We're looking at the same LTV to CAC ratios, what your revenue growth is, how much of your audience size is you've penetrated, but we're doing that without humans asking you for spreadsheets. So the first benefit is this is so much easier for the founder. Like, I have spent thousands of hours in my life fundraising. This business required a lot of capital to do. And, you know, the constant like diligence, follow-up, it takes so much time. So our product's called the 20-minute term sheet. You know, you plug in your digital data sources, your payment processor, your bank account, your ad spend account. And with that data, we can tell you in 20 minutes how much capital we can give you and then the terms of that capital. You know, we always charge between 6 and 12%. So it's really very reasonable, and there's never personal guarantees or warrants or covenants in the company. And then so the first thing is that data science makes it really fast. The second thing is that it actually took a lot of the bias out of how these investment decisions were made. And I think that is really, really fascinating. So, you know, and I didn't expect this, but when we look at our portfolio today, we've backed 8 times more women than the venture capital industry average. We have backed founders in every state in America, so all 50 states. I mean, this compares to the venture capital industry where 80% of VC dollars last year went into 4 states, if you can believe it, California, New York, Texas, Massachusetts. And there was 9 states in America that had 0 companies that got VC funded. And so, you know, using AI allows us to really democratize access to capital. And it shouldn't matter what school you went to. If you have a great business with great metrics, you should be able to get that business funded. And then on our core team, we have just under 250 people now.
Nice. Wow. 250 people is not that large. So it does make sense that machine learning would be able to get you to that scale that fast. Yeah. I figured that it would have been easily 500 to 1,000 people.
But totally. And that is the limitations of the old model. Is like when you have to meet, source, diligence all these companies, it requires a lot of humans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really pretty mind-blowing that you've reached that scale that fast with everybody has 10 arms, essentially. So in terms of, you know, where you guys are at, where you guys are at now, you know, you've definitely proven out the model. I love the fact that you've removed this sort of bias that does take place in the venture capital kind of world on Sand Hill that I've witnessed. And I think it's a beautiful thing that you guys have removed that and you're funding 80% more women. And I think that's fantastic. What's the next stage? Where are you guys at in terms of, you know, what's coming? I know you said you mentioned an additional inventory product. Do you have other things that are kind of catering towards different entrepreneurs? Is it just going to be focused on e-commerce for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So 2020 was a big year for us. And there was a bunch of things that we started doing. So the first is that we entered new verticals. So our core business was really focused around e-commerce. You know, today we actually, earlier this year, we launched B2B SaaS. So we see a lot of B2B SaaS companies that have the same issues where they're paying sales commissions for revenues that are going to be earned over the next, you know, couple years. So we allow SaaS companies to pull those contracts forward. So, you know, if you're going to make $20,000 from a customer, but they're going to pay you over the next 24 months, we'll give you a percentage of that revenue today. And you don't have to take dilution for that because that's one of the big problems in SaaS companies. Mm-hmm. The second thing we launched is this inventory product, which is totally revolutionary. I mean, never before has a company been able to say, you know, ClearBank will buy your inventory and you don't pay us back until that inventory sells off your website. Like, that's like offering terms on China. Like, everyone knows when they buy, you know, inventory, you have to pay for it as soon as you get it. And so we're actually taking the risk because we believe we have the data science to understand which products are going to sell and how long they're going to sell. But we're willing to do that. So that was just rolled out, you know, like a week ago. So in time for Black Friday. The next thing we launched this year was a product called Valuation. And so one of the things that we heard time and time from our founders is it is really hard to know how you're doing, especially during COVID, where it's much harder to fundraise, much harder to talk to VCs. even if you think you're doing well, you have no idea how the market's going to value you. And so, you know, we launched this tool that's totally free where we can show you like, $1 million of data based on these comparables, based on what it's. And so that has been, you know, a real hit with founders, because if you think about it, VCs value companies every single day. Like they have no problem valuing a company. But if you're a founder, you might get your company valued two or three times in your career when you go to raise money at the end of a 3 to 6 month fundraising process, or when you sell your company. And so it's really powerful data. And the last thing that we were able to launch this year was our international strategy. So able to announce that we have been in the UK in beta. We invested over 30 million pounds in 250 different UK startups. And so we're very excited to continue to grow internationally, because if you think about it, founders have, you know, challenges fundraising in, you know, America, those challenges are hugely exacerbated around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. International. That's a great, I didn't even think to ask that about the international. Talk about democratizing the whole kind of venture funding aspect of this. So the final question that I ask everybody on the show is a little bit of a softball question, but what is something that, knowing what you know now, what would you tell Michelle 10 years ago, now that you've gone, created all these multiple successful businesses, you've funded thousands of entrepreneurs now in all these different businesses, what would you tell yourself?
You know, it'll be really hard, but it will be worth it. That's probably one of the things. And I think I sweat, like I had so much sweat over the small stuff for years. I would like overthink so many decisions. And, you know, now that I look back, you kind of make the best choice you can at the time, but kind of roll with the punches, because you can really get yourself pretty obsessed with small things that when I look back at now, I'm like, oh, that didn't matter. But that's what I wish I could have told myself.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, those are all the questions I had for you today, Michelle. Where can people go and learn more about ClearBank?
Yeah. So clearbank.com, it's ClearBank with a C at the end of bank. So C-L-E-A-R-B-A-N-C. And then my name is Michelle with one L and then R-O-M-A-N-O-W. And I do my own Instagram and Twitter. So feel free to reach out to me on those platforms and LinkedIn as well. And I try to engage with everyone.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, if you guys are listening on iTunes, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, definitely check out all the links that Michelle just mentioned. I'm going to link them in the show notes and everywhere you're listening. And once again, thank you so much for coming on the show, Michelle.
Oh, thank you. It was great to be here.